It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone at Summerfest. Alongside former Badger and Packer Gary Ellerson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
This is the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. Only Gary Ellerson is on assignment, so he is not here. However, on the show, Jason Wilde to talk about the Green Bay Packers, and also Tony Smith, my Marquette partner, because how can anybody understand what's going in the NBA Finals? Game 6 last night. Up 3-2, the Oklahoma City Thunder basically did not show up. I mean, they were there, but they didn't show up. They scored a grand total of 91 points. They lost 108-91, and it wasn't that close. They led 10-2, so that means that they were outscored 106-81. But they got blown out once before. So the question will they come back in Game 7 at home? I'll have to check. They got blown out in Game 6 in their series against Denver at Denver and then came back and won Game 7. But it will be the first Game 7 since 2016 when, and so don't feel any pressure on Oklahoma City because they can't equal the debacle of then the Golden State Warriors, who were 73-9 and lost to Cleveland in Game 7, 93-89. All right, from Summerfest. All right, this is maybe the best giveaway we've had in a long time. From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy Celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener, two spectacular basketball players and human beings, on Friday, June 27th, the garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum, and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. That is inaccurate because you don't have to get tickets. I'm giving you tickets. What are we giving away, Pebble? Two tickets, right?
A pair of tickets to the event, Homer. A pair of tickets to the
event.
And
I think a ticket to the event's like about $150.
Yeah, the retail value for those tickets is about $300.
Yeah. Fabulous event. Dwayne Wade, Travis Diener, raising funds for literacy, the Harley-Davidson Museum. All of a sudden, they send us a memo like, Homer, Pebble, give away some tickets, all right? So we'll give away tickets. It should be a state law. Pebble, what caller does it have to be? I mean, come on.
It has to be caller number 10, Homer.
No.
No, not 10?
No. No, can't be. Anything involving Dwayne Wade has to be caller what?
Caller number 3.
Caller number 3. Did they tell us it had to be number 10 or not?
They did not. No, they did not specify. We just have to come up with a cue to call on our own.
So, 1-800-990-3776. It could be I could make people wait, which is what you generally do. But no, I want to do it first. $300 value, pair of tickets. 1-800-990-3776, caller 3. This way, Pebble, when he gets the winner, can tell me who it is, and then I will announce. Should I announce their whole name or just their first name?
Yeah, just their first name and where they're from.
I don't know. First name, yeah, where they're from. Caller 3, 1-800-990-3776. We didn't mention this before because we didn't know till today that we had two tickets value $300. 1-800-990-3776. The garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum, Friday, June 27th. Please, don't win unless you can go. Or you know somebody who can go. This is $300. Don't sell them on eBay either way. Again, Dwayne Wade, Travis Diener, Friday, June 27th. Week them today at the garage of the Harley-Davidson Museum. Make an impact by raising funds for literacy. And that's what they do. Help make money. Full information right now, wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. Somebody's going to really want that information because they're going to win or may have already won two tickets. Caller number three, yes, anything involving Dwayne Wade is by law should be, it has to be caller number three. Now, by the way, if you're wondering where we are at Summerfest, we're right near the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone. The Admirals were giving stuff away just moments ago, though. Gruber Law Offices everywhere. So it's the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. We're right near there if you want to come by. And as is the case every year, we get food from Major Goolsby's. Major Cheeseburger is my choice, fries, whatever. They're incredibly kind. They help feed everyone. So I want to thank Major Goolsby's. They got a great place here where you can get food, but they got a great place where you can get food every day of the year downtown Milwaukee. So Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone right near where we are, and thanks again to Major Goolsby's. Pebble, we got a winner yet?
We do, Homer. It's Mike in Heartland. He's taking home those tickets today.
Now, did he say he's going or he knows someone who's going to go or you didn't feel like you needed to?
He said he's going.
He's going. Yeah. Who would know that? Listen to Homer. And, hey, I just got a $300 prize, two tickets to Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener and all they do to raise money and help people. So we've taken care of that, right?
100%.
I feel like I got a million things I need to do here. That's definitely one of them. The other one I want to mention, because we were there earlier this week, American Place Casino. That's like Jason Woolley's coming up in a bit, and then Tony Smith is going to come up in the second half hour. I had to call him. I said, Tony, you got to explain this NBA Finals. I don't get it. Like Oklahoma City could still be the champions, and they didn't show up. They couldn't. If I had been playing against them, I think I could have put up 15. They didn't guard anybody. One of the best defenses, and again, 68 wins. So if they blow Game 7 at home, it will be of no historical significance because the last team to blow Game 7 at home was the Golden State Warriors after they won 73 regular season games, 73-9, and they were 39-2 at home in the regular season. On their home floor, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving beat them 93-89. I would say that would, as great as LeBron James' career has been, I would say that would have to be his greatest win. To win on the road against a team that won 73 and would have had they won the championship, Golden State would have had the greatest season ever in the history of the NBA, and that still stands with the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan's group, because while they didn't win as many regular season games, they've won the most. And it's amazing that as great as people respect Steph Curry, that it's part of his career in terms of losing that game at home. So you shouldn't hear anything about this would be just historically pathetic if they lost it, because it wouldn't be, because it's still not as amazing as Golden State losing the year they had the best regular season record ever, and they lost at home in Game 7. All right, American Place Casino. I've told you always it's like a half hour away from Franklin. American Place Casino. You go to AmericanPlace.com because they have like a million promotions. Mustang Dark Horse Premium Giveaway, 2025 Ford Mustang Dark Horse Premium. Play 500 on Us promotion. On a Roll. Sip and Spin, a coffee and run event. North Shore Steaks and Seafoods have Wine Dine Wednesdays. And then, of course, they're actually hiring table games dealers if you want a job. But go to AmericanPlace.com. If you're not taking advantage of more than one promotion, you're not working at it hard enough. And again, American Place Casino is just a half hour south of Franklin in Gurnee, Illinois. And there is probably a spot in Franklin where you're 38 minutes away. So somewhere between a half hour and 38 minutes. Doing the show today from Summerfest, and we'll be doing it next week, Thursday and Friday. So feel free to come by. I didn't put a mic up today. we're enclosed a little bit, so I want to at some point on one day give people a chance to say whatever they want, because we're located right on the lake and people are walking by and the weather's perfect. It's not too hot yet. Again, Jason Wilde will be on. He was on just a couple of hours ago. He's filling in for himself because he was supposed to be on Wednesday, and he was on assignment, so I said I'll do it on Friday. And I certainly want to talk to him about Elgton Jenkins, because in the Elgton Jenkins is sitting out. I don't see that the Packers are going to do anything. I mean, they asked him to change positions, and they should do something. But I think the history of the Packers is they don't do anything. He's got 2 years left. Going to get paid pretty well those 2 years. So I heard him talking about maybe what the Packers should do. But, and yes, Goody did mention that Jenkins could be a Pro Bowl center. And my answer is fine. Nice of him to say that. But what have they done? I believe in every situation similar to this, they've just let the player play out the contract with then not changing it or guaranteeing money or anything like that. So why would they do it with Elgton Jenkins? Well, because they're asking him to play center. Okay. I mean, I would have given him a little something for changing the positions. And if I was Elgton Jenkins and I wanted to be mean, I would say I'm not going to play center. I mean, Elgton Jenkins is going to be in the starting lineup. I don't know. So that he says I'm only going to play center, then what do the Packers do? They got to play him. So I'll ask Jason. But my expectations is the Packers do nothing, because that's what they do. Just, you got a contract? Well, you should get some guaranteed money. Fine. I should have hair. He's going to show up. Then I don't know. They can find him. What if he shows up and says, I'm not going to play center? I don't know what they do then. I don't have any experience of thinking somebody want change your position and the player says no, unless you do something for me. And I don't know if it's been a part of it. We also learned from Jair's dad that the Packers had no interest in Jair. Everybody would have paid him $4 million and a $2 million incentive to play for the Packers, even if he stinks. $4 million is nothing. Nothing. It's less than nothing. $4 million bucks. They did not want Jair Alexander around. Didn't want him around. If all you got to do is give him $4 million to stick around and play, we'll look at people on the team that are making $4 million. Just about everybody that plays makes $4 million, I would think. But I'll ask Jason Wilde. I'm at Summerfest. I don't know exactly where he is. He's not at Summerfest or he'd be here. But all I know is we're going to address that next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The Gary Ellison Homer Hour. Gary Ellison is on assignment out at Summerfest right next to the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone. I haven't seen it, but I've been told there's pickleball play here for the first time, I believe, ever at Summerfest. Yes, the fastest growing sport in America, pickleball. Jason Wilde. So that we can talk about the Green Bay Packers every day. Jason Woolley on the show. Good evening, Jason, or good afternoon, whatever it is exactly.
Whatever it is, yeah. Good afternoon, good evening, Homer. We look forward to being at Summerfest on July 5th for the State of the Packers show that we do every year.
Oh,
Gabe Neitzel, yeah. Alex Strolf, and me. It was a long, long time ago. It was actually the precursor to what became Green and Gold today, so I'm excited for that. Now, keep an eye out, though, in the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone. Madison and Sydney every year like to try and collect the different colored Gruber Law Office's T-shirts that are given away. And, you know, they've grown over the years, so I think some of them they've outgrown. So if you can keep an eye on the the stock there, if there's some adult smalls or mediums, keep an eye on those for them because they're not going to be down there for another couple weekends.
Small and medium. All right.
Yeah.
So they have each year there's only one color. Is there more than one color of the Gruber Law Offices T-shirt at SummerFest?
That's a good question.
Year?
I thought there were more than one color because I was just doing laundry. I've got a blue one. I got a pink one. There's a black one. There might be a yellow one. So it's a rainbow of fruit flavors. How's the energy down there?
I mean, the place, SummerFest is just spectacular now. Having someone who used to go when there were a million people and it was too crowded. I mean, it's just a fantastic event. Mostly adults, people. I just think it's perfect. Anybody who doesn't like SummerFest just hasn't gone in recent years. They've just figured it out perfectly to me in terms of the number of people, the events, and it's fantastic. I don't know how anybody can find anything they don't like, but they probably can somewhere. I just don't.
Theoretically.
I mean, if you're into music, I don't know how. And when it was 11 days, whatever, but with differences, I mean, it's probably better to have it on weekends than Tuesday anyway. A lot of restaurants don't even open up now on Monday and Tuesdays anymore. All right, when you have your State of the Packers, I would assume that the situation with Elgton Jenkins will not have changed at all because I don't think the Packers are going to do anything, and I ask you that stating because that's how they handle this situation. And when I correct it, this situation with just about any player, they're not paying him anything more. He just is going to play the next 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Or is there someone I'm missing?
That's a great question. No, that generally speaking, but again, you know, I brought this up to Tausch today, and I think this is one of the things that's different in both Jair's case and in Elton's case. There was no roster bonus after 2 years in March, which is normally an inflection point in the contract. And what I mean by that is that in most contracts, the Packers did over the years, they would have those first 2 years, and then there would be a fairly large, you know, $6 million, $8 million, sometimes smaller, roster bonus that was usually scheduled for the third day of the league year, so in March sometime. And basically what it was we have to make a decision. Now, in many cases, that player was a really good player, and they were more than happy to pay the roster bonus. Now, what they would often do in those cases was convert the roster bonus to a signing bonus. And for those that are unfamiliar, signing bonuses, you can prorate the charge of that amount. So say it's $8 million. If you can spread it out over 4 years, then against the cap, you get charged $2 million each year. So they would take that roster bonus if it was a player that they were clearly keeping. They would convert it to a roster bonus so they didn't get hit with that charge all at once. And they would keep the player. Now, the other thing that it could do, though,
when
would be
when did they decide to change that?
That's a good question. But the fact that both Jair and Elton signed their extensions in 2022 would indicate
without
that somewhere
it.
In there...
Yeah,
right,
and they
without
didn't
it
demand
being
it.
In
or
there.
If they did, right. Yeah, I'm sure they asked for it, right? I mean, wouldn't everybody would?
Well, I'm sure Jair, in retrospect, certainly wishes he'd gotten it, right? Because had he gotten it, you know, we wouldn't have had this long, drawn-out process. They would have said, well, we're not right. paying you this
unless
roster
unless you fear
bonus,
that
so
you would
goodbye.
Get cut rather than them give you that money.
Right, but even then, you know, when you sign that contract, you don't necessarily assume you're going to get that money. But the right. bonus for Jair would have been, if they weren't going to pay it, he'd have been on the free agent market during free agency, and so he probably would have done better than what he did with the Ravens. But anyway, the other two options are either we're not paying it, we're cutting you. Or it's, hey, you've got this bonus due. We would like to restructure your contract. We'll give you some of that guarantee, but not all of it, and we'll give you some incentives. And that might have worked in both these cases, right? Because what Elgton Jenkins is seeking is not, he's got $30 million left on his deal. He is not looking for them to guarantee all $30 million of it. He just wants some of it guaranteed.
Yeah, but, we both know, Jason, he's going to – right. I mean, but if I'm the Packers, why? I don't. He's going to – we all know Elgton Jenkins is a starter on the offensive line this year, right? I mean, there's no – they're not going to –
So why dink around with him is my question. Why not take – because the other thing is he's got a 20 –
because he can't do anything.
Million, right, but he's got a $25 million cap number for next year, for 2026. What you could certainly do in this case is you guarantee some of the money, not obviously all of it. You add a couple of years to the contract, you know, basically dummy years to his contract. And then if you get to the end of the 26 season and say, you know what, thank you for your service. You've had your 30th birthday. You know, we don't like to have guys that are over 30 on our team. We're certainly not going to give you a brand new contract, so we're going to say goodbye. I think Elton, and I don't want to speak for Elton, but I think Elton's concern is that his cap number is high enough for 2026 that they could play him this year at center and say, yeah, he was okay. We didn't think he was that good. And then they move on from him and they cut him loose. And what he's saying is that's fine if we get to that. But I would like some – if you're going to come out like Goody did and say, we think this guy is an all-pro center, I don't think it's unreasonable to say, well, then fix up my contract a little bit if that's the kind of way you're going to talk about me.
No, I agree, but we know this. What Goody says means nothing, means absolutely nothing. They don't have to do it. What's Elgton Jenkins going to do? Now, before next year, they could adjust something so that the cap hit isn't as big, right, before 26. There's no need to do that now. There's no cap issue, right, with Jenkins' contract, correct, this year?
No, it's very manageable. It's like,
yeah,
know,
so
15,
fine. I'll do whatever you want. Go. Yeah, what's he going to do?
To my follow-up question, it is, if you're going – I mean, he is – I was just saying this to Jamat Molly. He is – I hate it when people misuse the word literally. In this instance, it is – exactly the right word. Elgton Jenkins is literally the centerpiece of their renovation of their offensive line. He is the center. Moving him to center is a huge part of this. And so you make him the centerpiece of a reshuffling of your line. You say you think he's capable of being an all-pro center. And then you say, but we're going to make you play on your last, this year's deal. It just,
Jason,
I'll answer that. I don't think it's good.
No, we're overpaying him. We're overpaying him to play center. Guards make more than centers, correct? We're giving him a guard contract, and he's playing center. Who? What's his complaint? What's the average pay at guard? What's the average? What does he say to that?
And the crazy thing is when he could say, well, then leave me at guard.
Yes, he could.
And good luck with Jacob Monk at center.
I agree. That's what I would do. But I don't know.
Here's the thing. And look, Goody's a different person. But I can tell you this: that neither Ron Wolf nor Ted Thompson wanted their key guys to be disgruntled. Right. And if they thought it was the right thing to do by them, and it was still gonna help the Green Bay Packers and not hurt the Green Bay Packers, they would do it. Now, if Goody walks by you at SummerFest,
I have an answer for you there, Jason. I got an answer. As we learned with Jair, my answer right now, he's not a key guy. He's a nice guy, but not a key guy. Isn't what Goody's doing telling you that he's not a key guy?
Unless he doesn't see anyone as a key guy, right?
That's a great camp.
As replaceable.
I think the right tackle he sees is a key guy. But again, Zach Tom, we will find out
The one they came out and said would have to compete for his job earlier this offseason.
Yes, that was another. Okay, let's not go by what they say. Let's go by what they do. I believe they will pay big money to Zach Tom, and that's how they will tell us who's important. You're correct. Their comments, though, I think it's fair to say they're overpaying Elgton Jenkins if he plays center. That is a fact. Right?
Yes, and when he signed that extension, there was the possibility he was going to play left tackle, and so the contract was written as such to say if he moves to left tackle, then his salary will increase. They never made it their plan for him to play center necessarily. And so,
they would say, we're being nice.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would frame. Again, I also think that there is a value in your locker room of letting guys know that, hey, if you play good football for us, and it's undeniable that Elgton has played good football for them, we will take care of you. And that means something not only to Elgton, but it means something to other guys in your locker room. But I do find myself wondering, and this is purely me just looking at the way things play out, not anything more. No one has ever said this to me. I do find myself wondering if there is just a, you know what, all these guys are replaceable. They just are. Like, we don't have a Reggie White. We don't have an Aaron Rodgers. We don't have a Brett Favre. Yeah. Like,
other
all
than
these
quarterback.
Guys. Yeah, seriously, like, Devontae Adams is replaceable. Now,
right.
I would agree.
Other than quarterback.
I would argue that they have found that Devontae has not been replaceable. The way that they drafted all these guys, and none of them have elevated their games to such a degree that you could argue that they're as good.
No, I agree.
But I do think that there's a chance that in that building, it's, you know what, we'd rather have young guys who aren't going to necessarily think for themselves or, you know, create angst like David Bakhtiari, like Jair Alexander. So maybe we should just have all first-year contract guys on our team, make a few occasional exceptions, like for Zach Tom, and that's the way to do business now
right,
in today's NFL.
My answer to you, Jason, would be, if I said that, I would say that, Jason, you understand why we believe that. It has nothing to do with the people. It has to do with injuries. Injuries are such a part of it now that has moved us in this direction. Wouldn't that be a legitimate answer? Because the angst you speak of is totally the result of two injuries, right?
I mean, it's a large part of it. But again, the Bakhtiari piece, you know, those two guys, Bakhtiari was over 30. So if you wanted to make it about being over 30 and the injury piece, I have a much harder time pushing back on that. Like,
okay.
That's more like it. But you're getting into, we're not signing guys to third contracts. If they took that approach, I'd be like, you know what?
But
I don't
necessarily
agree.
Doing? I mean, didn't they do?
No, but
aren't they doing? Go ahead.
No, Zach Tom is a second contract. So what I'm saying is, I don't even think they want to sign a lot of guys to second contracts. I agree with you.
Oh.
Because Elgton Jenkins is a third contract, which is, he's on his second contract. I don't believe they will ever pay him a third contract. I just don't. I think that's why he wants some of the guaranteed money now, because he knows he's going to be cast
adrift. Isn't exactly where Bulaga was? Like, Bulaga was, like, they just let him do his last 2 years and then.
Yep. Okay. And thank you for your service.
They do that to Bulaga. That's, Jenkins is not nearly as good as Bulaga was, correct?
No, I mean, I would say that they were both really, really good players, and obviously I would say that Elgton does not want to see he doesn't want to turn out like Bulaga, right? Like, and by the way, they were right about Bulaga. As much as we love Brian, the doctor, right? Like, all he did for 2 years in L.A. was deal with injuries. He played through them the first year, and then he had an injury that he couldn't play through the second year. So it's true that when you get that old, that happens. So they're not wrong to believe that.
All right, Jason, I got to go. I don't think I'll find 84, David Gruber, because that's how many points he scored in the game. But the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone right next to us. Need an adult small and adult medium. Working on it. Thanks, Jason.
I appreciate you, Homer. All right, take care. Be good.
Can't wait. I'm a couple minutes late. But Tony Smith, I mean, I don't listen. Well, I'll listen to this. What's he got as an explanation for what is going on in the NBA Finals? Again, from Summerfest, right near the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. And, yes, I got the Major Cheeseburger from Major Goolsby's. The Hall of Famer, Tony Smith, next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yes, the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour is that every Friday, but he's on assignment. I am at Summerfest, right near the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. After watching Game 6 of the NBA Finals last night, I said, I got to call Tony Smith. How can he explain? Oklahoma City might as well not even have shown up. Just play your assistant coaches. But maybe that's an overreaction, which Tony Smith says I do every now and then. Hall of Famer Tony Smith, Oklahoma City didn't even show up last night. Accurate or not?
They showed up, didn't play well. So, not too accurate. Semi-accurate. I'll give you that. How's that?
Well, can I ask you a question? How bad would they have had to play where you would say they didn't show up?
I mean, you know, it's just not showing up to me as a former player doesn't even make sense. Because you're out there, you're trying. It's the NBA Finals. There's no chance you're not giving it all you got. Unfortunately, some days you don't have it. And some days the other team does. So
all right,
it happens.
Let me ask you that. You can explain this. Some days you don't have it. Explain that.
Yeah.
What does that mean or what?
Yeah, it's like any other repetitive thing that you do. Some days it happens. Like you see some guys, how does Giannis make 17 of 18 free throws one game? Another game he can't make anything.
All right.
You know, it's just like that.
All right.
That's your answer for everything.
Well, no.
Some days you have it, some days you don't. And
but when you're better,
No, hold on. Remember, and we always talk, Homer, on Marquette games. What do I tell you when either team gets a big lead? What's going to happen?
There's going to be a comeback.
There's going to be other team is going to pick up their energy. They're in desperation mode. They're down 20. They're not just going to give up. They're competitors. So they're going to play all out. What was the case last night, game six? Indiana's facing elimination. They're about to go home. What else? They got nothing to lose. They got to leave it all on the floor. Those shots that they take and make.
Yes, they made like, everything. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and it's like another thing we always talk about at the games. Those last second shot, end of quarters, end of shot clocks. They're much easier shots because you have to shoot it.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. So that's what you saw last night. Indiana's the backs to the wall. They were playing free, loose, fast. It did look like the Indiana of the regular season, right? So that's what you saw last night.
Now, most importantly, because that's done. It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
What does that game mean to you relative to Game 7 Sunday night in Oklahoma City? Just so you know. People should not say it would be historically terrible if they lost because the last time there was a Game 7, 2016, Cleveland won at Golden State, and Golden State was the 73-9 regular season greatest ever. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously OKC was the heavy favorite coming in, but
yes.
I mean, I got to tell you that, you know, Game 7, like you said, you kind of – everything's up for grabs now because you got to throw everything out the window. Both teams have a lot of pressure. You want to say, you know, okay, Indiana, they're playing with house money. They're not supposed to be here. That's out the window. They're here, and they know they're here. So the game is on the line. Those free, loose shots that they were taking yesterday or the game last night, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again. Can they play the same way that they've been playing, fast and loose? Like, that's why they've had these comebacks. Why are they getting down big? You got to ask yourself that question. Why are you getting down big? And then you play fast and free, and then you make a comeback. You know, they got to figure out a way to play fast and free and loose from the start so they don't get down. Right? OKC's the favorite.
Back to last night. Right, okay. Back to last night. Were you at all surprised, or what level of surprise, or what thought did you have given the whooping that occurred?
I really wasn't surprised. It's a situation where Indiana's got their backs to the wall. OKC's the favorite. They have the lead. And they played like, let's see if Indiana gives up. And they didn't. But, you know, both of these teams are very young. You might get that. You don't have, at least Indiana has Pascal Siakam, guy who's been there, done that, on their team. And he can kind of give them a little bit. But, you know, as far as OKC is concerned, they're a bunch of young guys. And they don't understand that you're not getting that game back. And now you put yourself in a situation where anything can happen. And, again, I think pressure is going to be on both teams, so that's going to cancel out the pressure aspect. I'm just hoping for a good game. I don't want to see a couple of these games are lopsided. They weren't close. I don't want to see one of those games. So let's hope they give us a great show. That's all I can really say.
Talking with the Hall of Famer Tony Smith, who I should mention earlier this week had his greatest round of golf ever, just so you know. Don't gamble with Tony Smith.
That was this morning.
This morning?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, I never know when you send your scores. This morning, Charles Anthony Smith. Is that right?
Antone. Antone.
Oh, excuse me. Charles Antone Smith had his greatest golf round ever at Ironwood, a par 72. He shot 69, 3 under par. And I know this from Tony Smith. He's not taking any putts. So it's not like, totally legit 69, 3 under, which means he was spectacular from 100 yards in because – at Ironwood, he's putting for birdie on 70% of the holes he plays. How's that for accurate? You say I make sense.
Yeah, pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. I was hitting the ball well today. I was chipping the ball well. Chipped in once for eagle. Almost made two other chip-ins. One was a tap-in for birdie, one safe par.
Did you feel any pressure the last few holes?
I did. So previous to that 69, 70 was my low. And I was 2 under, and I birdied the par 5 15th hole to get to 3. So I'm sitting on the number, but I got a par out. The 16th hole is that long par 4. It's a hard.
It should be a par 5. It's the hardest hole on the course for you.
Hardest hole on the course. And I'm like, ugh. Just don't blow it on this hole because it's a hard hole. You're probably not going to reach the green. You're probably going to have to chip. And
better have a damn good
pressure.
Drive.
I gotta be honest with you. I was probably more nervous on those last three holes than I was probably
yeah, but
playing
par
in the
16,
finals.
You know you could par 17 and 18, unless 17 the pin was way back. Then that
yeah,
one
yeah. Well, here's the other part. Well, first of all, you didn't even hear what I said. I was more nervous those last three holes than I was playing in the finals, dude. Heart was pumping.
Do you know why I didn't listen? Because I personally think that's crap. I'm sorry.
It's not. I'm telling you, it's not.
I know you've tried to explain it to me. That speaks to the confidence that you have as a player. Come on, I can do this.
It's basketball. I'm more confident in my basketball skill than I am in my golf skill. So yeah. I was super duper nervous. Here's the other thing.
All right, There
was a major outing there today, right? So we were trying to play before the outing started.
So you had to finish in time, yes. 10:30 probably you had to get them.
Well,
yeah.
But like you said, the pins were in crazy places because of the outing. So on the par 3 17th, the tees were way back. And they had the pin right on the hill on the crest. And then on 18, on the ninth hole on the burr, have you ever seen the pin back left on that little shelf?
Never.
It was there. It was there today. Like you can't even hit it over there. And I parred them both. Right. Yeah.
I want to let you know that that was the second greatest achievement today because also today, Bar Dice at Saz's, I won 21 chips.
I don't know. What does that mean?
Five aces. That means I won 21 hands out of about 24.
Oh.
and I rolled five aces twice. Now,
five aces twice?
Yes.
On the same roll?
That means they have to, no, I mean, when you get five aces, this is the homer rule, everybody has to give you an additional chip. So, to be fair to you, while it might be more, what I did was more difficult, there's not a person on the world, including me, that wouldn't rather shoot three under par. Wow.
Yeah,
what's your handicap at, Sandbagger?
It's not that low. I've had some bad rounds lately. I've had some good ones.
It's
going to
be low now, buddy.
It is going to
be low now.
It's going to be way low. Yeah,
yes,
it is going to be low.
That's
no,
what it,
I've probably had the worst scores handicap wise that you can have. I had a 77.
Matter.
I had a 77. Then I shot an 89. Then I shot a 78. And now I shoot a 69. So
Let me just give you a clue.
They're gone.
You get screwed the most on handicap when you have a great round because they then think that's within your range. Your handicap might be the lowest ever. All right, back to basketball, but I did want to mention three under. That's amazing. Who do you think's going to win? I would say I still like Oklahoma City because they already did this. They screwed up game six against Denver and came back and won. My concern is Indiana's just as good as they are. I mean, when they're on. All right, take either of those for your final statements.
Yeah, I mean.
Or neither of them.
I mean, I like OKC for a couple of reasons. One, they're at home. They don't need as many guys to play well as Indiana does. Indiana's going to need more guys to play well. They only need Williams and Shea to play well. Everybody else can play okay. But Indiana, you're going to need Siakam, obviously, to play well. You're going to need Halliburton to play well. You're going to need Nembhard to play well. There's just too many guys that you're going to need. T.J. McConnell coming off the bench, who's been phenomenal. I'm sure you love that.
See, and I want people to know, and for you to say, you've always told me the worst injury is a calf injury. People have no idea how bad a calf injury is. And for him to play as well as he did in Game 6, I was thinking of you going, that's incredible, right?
My conclusion is that it wasn't that bad. That's the only conclusion.
Right.
Like you're not gonna play like that if it's bad. He wasn't even limping. I'm watching him closely. There was no limp. There was no nothing.
Right. So that's a great thing for Indiana.
Great thing for Indiana. But again, Indiana's gonna have to have. I mean, they play like 10 guys. They play 10 guys. Neesmith is gonna have to have a great game. That's the only problem with them. They got a lot of guys that play and a lot of guys that contribute big time, they're all going to have to play well. And that's not always easy to do when the other team only needs two and a half guys to play well.
Home versus away. All right, talking to three under. That's going to be my new name for you. You're not Hall of Famer. Three under, Tony Smith. Thanks.
Why don't you just call me 69?
I can do that too.
Until I beat
like
it, 68. You like
no,
three under?
No, the key is three under. Under, how many under is the key?
Listen, because so that was one of my goals that I had left in golf, right? The break 70. The last one is to get the double eagle.
Well, play it handsome. A hole in one on a par four.
Well, no. I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll try on a par 70. I'll find a par 70 course. Play that a lot, and then I only need to be one under to
all
get
right.
it.
I got to go.
That was my
see
thought.
See you 69. Right.
See
you 3 under. Tony Smith. And just so you know, he's that good. Next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Remember UWHoops2015.com. UWHoops2015.com. Made 'em Believe Orpheum Theater in Madison. It's on the 26th. There aren't many tickets available. Made 'em Believe, but most importantly, UWHoops2015.com. Now it's at Fisco today. It hasn't changed. family still doing it. Fisco Auto Body, you need to go there because they're that good. You got one forever, an auto body place on Forest Home in Franklin, on Forest Home in Franklin. Family business owned since 1931, not what they do, who they are. Yes, I was talking to a Fisco about Fisco, still in the family. Expert workmanship, guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. You'll like them because they're so good, and then you'll thank me, and I like that as well. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. The Major Goolsby's Cheeseburger, the Major Cheeseburger, awesome. They take care of us, and again, located, because we'll be here, be back. Gruber Loft to Sports Zone, right near there. From Summerfest, Tony Smith shot 3 under par. Next.